All right, I will call to order University Council's meeting Wednesday, December 6, 2023, and it's 3:04. Liz, do we have a quorum?
Yes, we have a quorum present.
Great. Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda for today's meeting? Thank you. And a second? Thank you, Felicia. All in favor, say aye. Opposed? Abstentions? We have an agenda. Can I have a motion to approve the November 8th, 2023 minutes? Thank you. And a second? Second, Paris. Thank you. Any discussion, corrections, or deletions? Hearing none, all in favor of approving the November 8th, 2023 minutes, please say aye. Opposed? Abstentions? So our minutes have been approved. Next up is public comment. Liz, do we have any requests for public comments?
No, we did not get any requests for public comment.
Thank you. So that brings us to item six, which are President Freeman's announcements. With her not being here today, she's asked me to pass along in her place her wishes to all for a happy and healthy holiday season and end of the semester. And I just want to echo those sentiments and hope everybody has as little stress as possible during this stressful time, and that commencement, when we get there, goes off without a hitch and is a wonderful and joyous celebration of our students, their families, and all those that have worked to support them along the way. So we'll keep that nice and short, which brings us to item seven, which is new business. We have one item, and at this time I'd like to call Dean Kelly Fiala up to share the proposed temporary appointment, timeline waiver request, and answer any questions from UC members. Before Kelly shares and reads the request, can we have a motion to consider this request? Thank you. And a second? Second, Pitney. With that, I'll turn it over to Dean Fiala.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks for hearing this request today. So I'll read through the brief description of the waiver request and happy to take any questions afterwards. Currently, Dr. Melanie Dufferin serves as the School of Interdisciplinary Health Professions interim chair. Moving forward with a temporary appointment, this could be either Dr. Dufferin or another candidate, is a prudent decision for the college as we reevaluate our organizational structure and improve function and consider strategies for improved efficiencies and cost reduction. So on June 15th, I assume my position as the permanent dean of the College of Health and Human Sciences, and we are now in our initial phases of strategic planning. In that process, we're seeking a lot of input, and it's been brought to me by the faculty that maybe we need to think about our organizational structure. So essentially, at this time, it's really unclear whether we would change our structure or not, and allowing interim appointment would afford the college the time necessary to solicit feedback and make a decision regarding that structure. In addition to fulfilling this position on an interim basis, that would allow an opportunity for a faculty member to explore leadership position of that nature. So given that Dr. Dufferin is currently in an interim appointment, and NIU bylaws article 10.5.2 specifies that a search for a permanent incumbent must be instituted within 6 months, I'm requesting a waiver per NIU bylaw article 10.5.2.2. On November 16, 2023, per bylaw requirement, the faculty of the school unanimously voted to support the request to continue with an interim appointment, whether that be Dr. Dufferin or another candidate, for an additional year until June 2025. The proposed process to fill the interim position going forward would include an open call, presentations from candidates, and a feedback session for faculty before a decision is made regarding their appointment, the appointment of their interim chair. If faculty prefer a more streamlined process, adjustments would be made. Any process utilized would include faculty support prior to making that appointment. So I'm happy to take questions.
And as a reminder, if you do have questions, we ask you to come up and use one of the mics. We can pass one of these out to you. All right, hearing no discussion or comments, thank you so much for the presentation. So having heard or having a first and a second and then having the presentation and opportunity for discussion, we'll move to a voice vote. So all in favor of approving the temporary appointment timeline waiver request per NIU bylaws article 10.5.2.2, please say aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you. It passes. That then brings us on to item 8, which are items for university council consideration. We have two presentations slated for today. However, General Counsel Perry has reached out and is not able to make today's meeting due to a family emergency. So we will be looking to reschedule that presentation and have him come back at a later time to share information and updates on Supreme Court decision related to affirmative action in higher ed and its impact on NIU. So we'll move to item B, which is academic diversity, equity, inclusion. It's all in the name, presented by our Chief Diversity Officer and VP, Dr. Sumner and Jade Silver-Tovar. Yeah. Soon, right?
Yeah.
Good afternoon, all. Before I crack my joke, I just want to say it's good to see you all. And now that I have 20 minutes, just kidding, we're going to have some fun today. We too have an absence. Our colleague, Dr. Joe Flynn, needed to have some time. He had to take an appointment and is unable to join us today. So our new colleague, our new Assistant Vice President, Jade Silva-Tovar, no hyphen, both are her last name, will be presenting on his behalf. We have a lovely PowerPoint slide that we will be moving through today. But if you all have come to know me, you will know that the content is there to help drive the conversation. But I hope that the conversation will be something we can have as a discussion as we talk about who we are. Now, it's also important to know that standing behind this, you can't see the slides. So I will need to step to the side and move into some of the space with our interpreter. But I just want you to know I can't see what's up here. One of the things that's important to know is that this is academic work. It is not work to the side. It is not work on the periphery. It is critical to who we are as an institution and the work that we are a part of. And so we want to talk about the construct and certainly the context of this institution. We are an emerging Hispanic serving institution. That is another facet of our institutional identity that moves forward. Diversity, again, is a part of the academic enterprise, so we want to be able to discuss that. Looking at the work itself and escalating and moving things forward, we want to be able to advance the work. And then lastly, engaging and supporting and serving our communities. The first is understanding the context of the work and who we are. And I want to be able to talk about this. You all have heard me say this. I think there's at times a focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion specific to race or gender or sexual orientation or a protected class. And I'd like to think more broadly about the way that we engage and enact the work of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And what I would say is if you were to line up five individuals of the same race, of the same gender, and the same sexual orientation, they would still have diversity amongst them. So I need us to think of the ways in which we are all a part of this work and not for some versus others or some without others. It is all of us. And that means as we're looking at this, we're also looking at socioeconomic status, Pell eligibility, Minoritized and underrepresented can be a number of things, not just race and gender. And underserved, those who do not have resources. Some of those are not race specific, and some of those are not specific to students. And so we want to think about how are we engaging with our campus community more broadly. I'd also ask if we think about the context of who we are as an institution in the state of Illinois, and as an institution that currently sits where it does in DeKalb and in the shadow of Chicago. There are so many things that make this place special. And we have a long history of seeing diversity, equity, and inclusion as core elements of who we are. This state has a governor who has expanded upon that, even to the point of this summer, looking at how are we talking about neurodiverse individuals and the contributions of individuals that have been considered a part of it, but not always mentioned, like individuals with disabilities, or those who have invisible disabilities, or rural students, or students who come from places that have more or less than 50,000 students. Those are factors sometimes as invisible as they are, they mean something when someone is looking to belong. Lastly, I would share that as an institution, as an R2 emerging HSI, we are uniquely positioned to be able to look at how we can partner with other institutions that are not an R2 or an R3, but community colleges, city colleges, and as an HSI, an emerging HSI, we are even more uniquely positioned because that designation first starts with access. So we're looking at Pell eligible students based on low socioeconomic status and the cost of attendance. If you don't meet those criteria, it does not matter how many Hispanic or Latino full-time undergraduate students you have. And I'm always prefacing that because individuals want to position the HSI designation as serving only Hispanic or Latino populations. It is a recognition that as an institution, we value access. And by student population, the Hispanic or Latino student population is significant enough that we must be attentive to their needs. That includes faculty, staff, administrators, curriculum, all of the things that are a part of the institution. I do want to clarify something that I saw in the student newspaper today because I said it in the Faculty Senate meeting. And I want to make sure that we're clear. When I talked about race does not always matter, and that's a part of the quote that kind of ended it there. When I'm in my Black community, my race may not matter at all. They may not just like me because they don't like me. It has nothing to do with my race. But there are places in our communities where our race may not be a factor. But not being first gen, or being a student that did not come from a low income, or being a student who came from a mother who was Greek affiliated, those do offer distinct perspectives and experiences that will have an influence. So I want us to situate, when you see that quote in the student paper, that's what I meant. I'm going to turn this over now to our colleague, Jade Silva-Tovar, to talk about it, our HSI designation, and to move us through the rest of this presentation.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. And so as we think about our Hispanic serving institution, it's really being able to focus in on what do we mean by servingness? And that aligns with our equity plans as an institution. And so how are we looking at our curriculum? How is that being responsive to the needs of our Hispanic Latinx students, first generation, Pell eligible students, and what are those pathways to completion? And as we start to think also about how are we engaging our K-12 population, not only our students, but our faculty and staff, and then their families. And so as we think about students with their families, and they may have children of their own, we also need to think about the parents of the students or how they consider family. And so how are we creating a campus environment that is inclusive and culturally responsive to the needs of our Hispanic Latinx students? And again, really centering that needs for first generation, Pell eligible, and other marginalized communities. It's also looking at and really honing in on the data. So making data-informed decisions as we think about what are equity gaps in our colleges, are there courses that seem to be weed out courses that actually are not benefiting our students and propelling them to stop out or transfer to another institution? It's also being able to look at what are the non-academic factors that our students are experiencing as we think about mental health and culturally responsive ways to engage our students in that, and thinking about dismantling perceptions about mental health in that process. But we also look at how are we then creating pathways as an R2 institution of graduate students going on into master's, doctoral, and then diversifying our faculty and the pathway to the professorate. And so there's opportunities for us through grants, federal funding, but to really be a leader in the state of Illinois for us to do that as an R2 emerging Hispanic serving institution. So I look forward with engaging the campus community throughout that process. We also have our retention initiatives, which I'll turn back over to Dr. Sumner.
So several of us in the university leadership team are a part of the university retention work. I will look at my dear colleague, y'all know, Emma Feshkinitly, call him by another name, but Dr. Renault, and I, and Alicia Shatterman, and Barbara, and the provost are part of a group called SET. Now, don't ask me what that acronym is. We have more acronyms at this institution and in higher ed. You could run the alphabet several times over. But it is a SET group, and it is focused on retention. The other is the SEM 2.0 group that is looking across the institution more broadly. The other that is up here, and I think we have a survey that we're doing for the institution, which is an equity survey for the state of Illinois. It will be due in 2024. So please be prepared to look for that survey. It is something that we do as a part of a partnership for college completion. It will be taking stock of how we as an institution are working to create an equity plan across the institution.
Awesome. And then our Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation. I really should have brought my glasses today. Center work, leading this with our colleagues in Student Affairs. And the expansion of this work into our GIVE circles, and so that's growth, inclusive, vulnerability, and empathy circles, to really talk about individuals' experiences. So as Dr. Sumner mentioned, we're more than just what you may see on the outside, right, or the perceptions. And so how do we come together as a campus community to really unpack and understand that for a common understanding and learning as we grow together as a community. We also will be celebrating the National Day of Racial Healing on January 16th, and so we'll be sending out information and working alongside our colleagues in Student Affairs on that. And then we are going to be hosting some upcoming sessions, and so one just passed for faculty and staff. So be on the lookout for those opportunities. Some of you may have attended the Real Talk Conference Our hope is to be able to do that every year and expand the work. And so we just recently got the feedback that we received from that conference and hope to make the conference continue to making it bigger and better each year. Additionally, we'll have our faculty and with our FACE program, and so Dr. Flynn leading that for the team. We do have a session coming up, and so you can go to the website to register on growth mindset and equity-minded grading. And so he's been working diligently to really look at how we're engaging in the classroom. And so if yourself, your colleagues have ways that you want to learn and grow, he's been leading that charge of how we're creating equity and inclusive praxis within our the classroom environment and teaching.
What I will close with is we did not do a review of ADEI, which is the division. We know that those programs and services have been around. If you're not familiar, we have several cultural programs, cultural centers, work that we are have historically been involved with social justice education, prevention education, and outreach. We work with the president's commissions. We are here to be a collaborator. What I want to maybe just close with is this. We are challenging and reconsidering all framing of the way that we look at diversity, equity, and inclusion. We are simultaneously looking at the ways that we have set in motion certain things like social justice education, It is not only about race. Some of the new facets could include environmental and sustainability justice. Have we framed that? Have we considered that? And as we think of prevention, what are other ways that we can look at prevention? Not just sexual violence prevention, but other ways to go about engaging. So we look for you to be partners and collaborators with us as we're exploring this work for Northern Illinois University and for the DeKalb and greater Chicagoland area. But moreover, as a state leader, NIU is known for what we have done historically, and I look forward to being known for what we will do moving forward. I don't know if there are questions. If there are, we are here to serve and answer. If I don't have it, I will get it for you.
Thank you so much for that. If you do have questions, please do feel free. We can bring the mic to you or otherwise, but I just want to say I do appreciate what Dr. Sumner was just talking about with their willingness to partner and help us think as a campus in more inclusive or expansive ways about social justice and diversity, equity, inclusion. She'll be coming to our Faculty Senate Social Justice Committee to help us faculty to do that work and engage and help us move that work forward. So I appreciate it.
Thank you all for your time and attention.
And I'll just point out that Dr. Sumner and Jay did not take up the extra 10 minutes. So you can thank them for that as well. Maybe that's what the round of applause is for. All right, so that brings us to item 10, reports from councils, boards, and standing committees. And I saw Linda come in. So we have the Faculty Advisory Council to the IBHE report first.
Good afternoon, everyone. So on November 19th, our meeting was hosted by Northeastern Illinois University. We had a brief welcome by their provost, who boasted NEIU as one of the most diverse campuses where students can graduate with the least amount of debt. I'm wondering if you compared that to NIU, right? Just wondering. Anyway, following the provost's warm welcoming remarks was a presentation by Jennifer Foster at ICCB, another lovely acronym, right? They're also at the state level, not just at NIU. You know, it stands for Illinois Community College Board. Yeah, got it right this time. She highlighted the ICCB's focus on college prep and transferability. As one example, Jennifer talked about the need to provide greater access to dual credit by expanding it to underserved and underrepresented students, particularly in rural and low-income areas where students may have limited access, something we just heard about today. She also discussed competency-based instruction and a new workforce equity initiative, which includes short-term certificates and accelerated time to completion around high-demand areas. Jennifer Delaney, our IBHE faculty rep, announced that she is stepping down because she will be accepting a position at UC Berkeley starting in January. Huge loss for us, really. Jennifer's been fantastic on the IBHE. And I had to ask her, why would she choose California over Illinois? I really don't understand that. She suggested that we continue to ask for more visibility with the IBHE, that we ask the board to respond not only to undergraduates, but also graduates and research, and that we push forward with ideas on faculty recruitment, retention, and diversity. We then had a mid-morning presentation about NEIU's University Without Walls Stateville program. After a gap of 25 years, the University Without Walls program was brought back to Stateville Correctional Center in 2017. This is a non-traditional degree program in partnership with Chicago's Prison Plus Neighborhood Arts Education program. And the program graduated 7 students in their first cohort, and in 2020 welcomed 5 inmates into their second cohort. And they hope to see it expand even beyond that. And then finally, we had our it's like herding cats, right? We had to get into our working groups. And in my college, affordability and student debt working group, we're kind of wrapping up, I think. You know, we've gone as far as we can in our group. And so we might even disband at this next meeting and decide to. At this last meeting in November, there were just 2 members of the group present. And so we drafted a summary of our work over the past few semesters, and it includes information on the Nevada Promise Scholarship
and the Tennessee Promise Scholarship, as well as statistics on middle-class student debt. And both of those Promise Scholarships offer like last dollar amount to students after they've received any financial aid and perhaps any merit scholarships. So if you would like to see the full summary, please contact me. It's not that long, 2 or 3 pages only. And so this concludes my report, and I'll entertain any questions at this time or not.
Thank you, Linda. Okay. Any questions?
Yes. The NEIU's, it's called University Without Walls, Stateville program. Oh, please, go ahead.
I'll just repeat the question.
Yes, please do.
We're all watching at home. I just wanted to know what institution you were referring to when you were talking about that.
Thank you. And you are? And you are?
Val from KMPE.
Just helping Pat out here when she has to do the minutes, right? Yeah, right? Okay, yeah. It's NEIU's University Without Walls Stateville program. Yeah, and there was one that was on, I don't know if you saw it on the news, but it was, I think it was Northwestern's program. They have a similar program. Did you see that on the news, right? Where they had just recently graduated several cohorts in their Stateville program. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. Oh, so they got you working today, right? Okay, yeah, walking around with the mic. All right, that works. Okay, thank you. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda. All right, next up is the University Advisory Committee of the Board of Trustees report, which I will be giving. The Board of Trustees met on November 9th to engage with a variety of topics through their three main committees, and they'll meet again tomorrow in the full Board of Trustees. I wanted to highlight a few items from the meeting on the 9th. First of all, there was a new trustee that was seated, Leland Strom. So that's a new seat being filled. Or an existing seat being filled by a new member. The Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee, FACFO, heard a series of reports related to the university finances. They also heard the recommendations related to state budget requests, the IBHE capital budget requests, and heard about a number of upgrades, replacements, repairs across campus. The Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee received updates on academic program reviews from across campus. And they also received a presentation from Drs. Melissa Lincheski and Christine Mooney about their transdisciplinary multi-institutional work to develop BASICS, which is the Business and Science Integrated Curriculum for Sustainability. This PowerPoint and the presentation was well received. The PowerPoint's available on the Board of Trustees documents, or I'm sure either Dr. Lincheski or Dr. Mooney would be happy to meet and share more about it. But it was a great presentation that talked about how you develop transdisciplinary curriculum, the resource intensiveness, the time intensiveness of it, and then the impact as well on faculty members, but most importantly on student learning. And it was well received by the Board of Trustees. They were extremely engaged with the presentation, stating their desire to support and elevate this type of work and calling it a game changer. And I think it aligns well. It was a great representation of the work going on campus for the Board of Trustees to see the value of transdisciplinary work. And I just want to plug some of the work that's been going on within the Faculty Senate related to bylaws to make sure transdisciplinary work is part of what is seen as valid and valued work of faculty members in our tenure promotion bylaws as well. So that's going on in conjunction with that. The Research, Innovation, Legal, and Legislative Affairs Committee received reports from VP for RIPS, Yvonne Harris, and AVP, Dara Little. Some highlights from those reports were recognition of Dara Little for her work, Dr. Skazinski's work with the Illinois Innovation Network, and Dr. Tao Lee's work and new membership at Argonne National Research Center. Senior leadership also presented in this committee some of the themes presented to IBHE during the annual Big Picture meeting, which is a conversation between NIU and IBHE, which focuses on showing how NIU's efforts are in alignment with the strategic plan of IBHE and how we fit into the broader ecosystem of higher ed in Illinois. There was an effort to demonstrate the alignment of the work here on our campus with those 9 growth strategies that IBHE has for higher ed more broadly. And I just, again, will always encourage folks to look at those board reports, which are posted for tomorrow's meeting, to see maybe there's a moment to jump in and to learn or listen in on a topic that might be relevant to you. And that concludes my report. Next up, there's no report from Rules, Governance, and Elections Committee. So that brings us to the Student Government Association. And I think we have a report from Cole on that. So I invite Cole up.
Hello. I'm Chris. I'm stepping in for Olivia, the president of SGA, for the executive side today. On the executive side, we had our State of the Senate yesterday. It got canceled. So we're going to send something out about where we are. But executive side, we're still shuffling our cabinet a little bit, figuring out how to fill that as best as possible. We recently had a new director appointed by the Senate, and we're continuing to work to improve student access. One of the things we're working with the Senate with is putting up a finals de-stress week. So some giveaways and like little cups and stuff, as well as working with working with a place on campus, counseling as well, to have some de-stress stuff for finals week. That's kind of exec side. This funding allocation, we have spent over 80% of our supplemental funding. Annual funding was distributed and has been effectively used so far. And we have some money that we transitioned from the fall supplemental funding bin into the spring supplemental funding bin, which means there is around $35,000 in that supplemental funding for student orgs to have access to.
And then on the Senate side of things within SGA, so we had our last meeting last Friday. So to sum things up for this semester, we approved over 20 new orgs, so they will be eligible for funding starting next spring. With that, Olivia and I have been working on shifting the culture within SGA. So with that, there's been some pushback. We've just removed the vice president within SGA. Olivia's looking for a replacement, and I believe there's a director that's going to be up for removal soon. So with that, I'm open to questions.
No questions. Thank you. Next up is our operating staff council. Natasha, is there a report? You're not.
Good afternoon, everyone. While I am not Natasha Johnson, president of Operating Staff Council, I am a member of Operating Staff Council, Tiffany Morris. Operating Staff Council has a lot of moving parts going on right now, but we will say that staff is very grateful for the work Local 1890 has done. It's put the morale a little bit better, so that's good. We're also working on the final steps of the QR code for the Civil Service Emergency Fund. So those of you who enjoy planting seeds into others, you'll see those coming to you very soon across campus as well as on the website. So the emergency fund goes to help our colleagues. So a lot of our colleagues are in need. So the other initiative we've done is we've also collaborated with the Husky Pantry to make sure that our colleagues have somewhere to at least get the food and things that they need in these hard times, I would say. So that's it for operating staff council. Any questions?
All right, thank you. And my apologies, Natasha had reached out to let us know. I have it even in my notes and I didn't even look up. So I apologize, Tiffany. Oh, that's great. It was Liz's fault. Next up is a report from Supportive Professional Staff Council. Felicia, thank you.
So the Supportive Professional Staff Council is really focusing on how we can engage in basically meet with SPSS staff. And so we held our first event for this year, which was a trivia night, which was basically hosted by Kathy Doderlein, and we had a great turnout. One of the things is that we really have over the last couple of years found that staff are just not engaged, period. And so one of the things we want to do is to look at what it is the council does and then have them to connect. And so this is one of three events we'll have during the year. We also are hosting a professional development opportunity for SPSS staff related to SPSS sabbaticals. And so Dr. Gonzalez will be speaking about SPSS sabbaticals, and that will take place on December 14th. We're looking at that will take place between 11:30 and 12 o'clock. So we'll be sending out the link for that. One of the things is that we will be hosting each month at the end of our meeting a professional development topic that's relevant. And so this will be our first one for the year. We're also at this time accepting applications for the SPSS scholarship, and that can either go to a grandchild or child of an SPSS employee or someone who's been mentored by an SPSS staff member, and that information is on our website. So we give two scholarships, and that deadline for that is February 28th. And then we are also accepting nominations for SPSS awards. The deadline for that is February 16th. At this time, all we're asking for is a name and one or two sentences in terms of nominations for that. And that's also on our website in terms of what the awards are and the qualifications for that. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Felicia. That brings us to information items, Roman numeral X. The standard A through O are there. Different minutes and policies are available. Item P, just as a reminder, we do not meet again this calendar year. Our next meeting will be January 31st. It's kind of surprising that the semester is winding down. It feels like it should already have wound down and also has a long way to go. But just before we move to adjournment, I just want to say once again, I wish everybody a healthy and productive end of the semester here. And if I don't see you before the holidays and the break, have a wonderful break and restful break. So it brings us to item 11, adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Johnson first, the second. Second, Montero. And all in favor? All right. Thank you all.